ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Continuing on page 6. On the southern side of the land known as Ilavritavarsha are the mountains known as Himavan, Hemakuta, and Nishada. And on the northern side are mountains like Nila, Sveta, and Sringa. Similarly, on the eastern and the western sides are the Malayavan and the Gandamandana, two large mountains. Surrounding Meru are four mountains known as Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high.
Right.
Yes.
Varsha would be part of Chandigarh?
No, I think it's its own Varsha. No? Ilavrita Varsha. It's another Varsha.
Within Chandigarh?
It's within Chandigarh?
The central one of Chandigarh.
Jambudvip itself has
nine varshas.
Nine varshas. So there's seven islands, and Jambudvip is one. And then, within Jambudvip,
nine
varshas. Oh, I see. So varsha is one of them. So that means we basically know 1/9 of the planet.
And then each of the other islands has seven varshas. Except for the outermost one that has two. So altogether there's 46.
46, yeah. But I'm just saying in Jambu, we only know Bharatvarsha, really.
It's a diagram on page 11.
Page 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Page 11. Okay. Okay, so the Himalaya. Oh, I see. The when it says 10,000 long, yojan is long. That's just goes all the way along like this. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because Kim Purusha talks about, and that, and we don't, and the Uttarakurus are up here. So that means all the way on the other side. That's because what's his name went up to there, Arjuna.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Parikshit Maharaj also went around all the days.
Ah. Yeah. So it's no normal thing to get to Gandamandana then.
No.
Hmm.
This would be the Bhumandala.
No. This is just Jambudvip. Does that make sense? See, right in the middle, you have Meru. And then the first island Bhumandala is Jambudvip. Then there's the salt ocean around that. Then there's the next one. Next island. Then whatever island ocean that is, then the next one like that. Then there's seven islands.
Seven islands, seven oceans.
Yes. So it's quite complex.
And then this makes Bhumandala?
That makes Bhumandala. Because on Jambudvip, that's the only one where kind of we're hanging out. So we're in Bharatvarsha. Down here.
And then so Bhumandala would be like this, and Swar would be up. And
yes.
Down.
Yes. I mean, Bhuvar's down and also up. Buvar is the part, means you have the hellish regions, so whatever's above the hellish regions and below the heavenly planets, that's Buvar. Like that. You know, like, so Gandharvas and, you know, these, how you say, Vididharas, Rakshasas, Yakshas, they're all Yantariksha. They're all in between. They're Buvar. Does that make sense? So you have the demigods, you have us, and then you have everything that's in between.
So Buvar is not below. We are below. Buvar is not below.
No, Buvar is below us and above us. Right? Means like the demons, they hang out below. And then the ones that are, you know, associates of the demigods, they're above. But it just means it's in between heaven and earth. Right? Okay, so back to wherever we were. Okay. On these four mountains, there are trees, a banyan tree. How would you interpret this?
Planet of means, trees.
Means the banyan tree is so big it looks like a bunch of trees, or
abanya.
Not banyan. No, so some kind of other tree.
But it's only actually referring to three of them. Three not banyan trees.
Trees. A banyan tree. They're banyan, but not banyan. Yeah. I see.
The banyan of no banyan.
Yes, the banyan of no banyan, yes. There are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chittarata, Vibrajaka, and Sarvatobhadra. On the side of the Suparshva mountain is a Kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kamuda mountain, there's a banyan tree named Satavalsa. From these roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain, so this is all on Jambudvip, right? Those are those four. These four around here. Okay. Surrounding Mount Meru, like filaments of the whorl of a lotus, are 20 mountain ranges such as Kuranga, Kurara, Kushumba, Vainaka, and Trikuta. To the east of Sumeru are the mountains Jahada and Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Parayatra. To the south are Kailasha and Kalavira, and to the north are Trishringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit of Mount Meru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapura are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are one-fourth the size of Brahmapuri.
So it doesn't mean that they are above? It means they are on the same level?
It appears, but at the same time it doesn't specifically mention higher or lower. It just means that Indra's places are all around.
Because if it's getting hot and they're going...
Well, it means that they also have places all over, just like in the Loka Loka, then to the east you have Indra, to the west you have Varuna, like this. So they also have their places. So that they're all, and I think they're all non-different, but they're all differently situated. You know, just like there's Kailash here, and then there's a place where Shiva's and other, you know, so it's... Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 10, the nine divisions of Jambudvip. Verses 11 to 29, a detailed description of Ilavrita Varsha. Verses 1 to 10, the nine divisions of Jambudvip. In verses 1 to 10, Maharaj Pirkit asked Srila Sukadeva Goswami to describe the Lord in his external feature as the universal form, so that by fixing his mind upon said form, he could bring his mind to the platform of pure goodness, and thus become qualified to understand the Lord's subtler Vasudeva form. Thus, Srila Sukadeva Goswami begins by describing the boundaries and dimensions of the subsections on the central island of Bhumandala, known as Jambudvip. King Pariket said to Sukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. You have given a very general description of their measurement, names, and characteristics. Now I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in its external feature made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. Right. So this is going to be the approach to understanding these mandalas, yes. Right, and these islands. It's going to be based on how it connects to the universal form and us understanding the universal form so we can focus on actually Krishna himself. Yes.
We have a tendency to look at this as from the perspective of modern science. So that's why it becomes very difficult.
Yes, because the point is this is not specifically a geographic description.
Yes.
Right? Meaning that, you know, this is where this is, that's where that is, because that's what was mentioned before. Because if we remember, if Vidura already in the fourth canto wants to get beyond that, he wants to know about the Lord and his connection, then why would in the fifth canto we would be regressing? So it's not that it doesn't; these things aren't correct according to the geographic locations. It's just not being overly specific to define them. That will be other literatures may do that, right? Because this is a paravidya, so it's about that in connection with the Lord, not that it's just going to be giving. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like when details are revealed about how to behave, it's in connection with the great personalities, right? When it talks about how a king should behave, it's talking about them in connection with the great Vaishnava kings, right? It's not talking about them just some guy who was just a good manager.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. So the same way as all these things are going to be described there. So that's the main thing to catch, is that mood of how to see things in connection to the Lord. If you catch that, then you've actually caught what Bhagavatam's talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is showing mood of connecting any apara vidya to paravidya?
Yes. That's the whole thing that Bhagavatam does. If you understand that, then everything works very well.
Yes.
If you don't understand that, then one will be bewildered and, you know, is this in chronological order? You know, is this, you know, geographic?
Yes.
Is this, you know, in other words, we'll see everything according to time and space, rather than the relationship between the living entity, the Lord, and the material energy. So that's what we're trying to get past. That's what we need to be able to get past to be able to appreciate this.
Yes.
Because the universe is the Lord's form.
Yes.
And so that will only be revealed if Krishna shows it. Otherwise it won't. We're thinking, oh no, but we can just go and geographically set things up. But one thing that's very interesting is that every time I see a map of some place, I'm always amazed because it's different from the previous map I've seen. Like the last few, it means maps used to look one way before, and I guess they're trying to be more scientific. But the one thing, like, just as an example, that I always find very impressive is even though Europe is basically a continent, it's also a peninsula. Because it's got water all the way over to St. Petersburg and then all the way underneath through the Mediterranean, Black Sea, and Caspian Sea up to Omsk or whatever it is?
Omsk.
Omsk. like that. It's just got water on both sides. The only thing that's solid land where it's connected is, you know, in Russia. Yeah. You know, it's like that, up to that point, basically up to like the Urals, it's like that. That's you could say, but everything else is, but every time you see it, you think Europe looks one way. It's generally more compressed, but then you see it, it's actually elongated, you know, and then you have, you know, Portugal, Spain, and then France and everything out here, and then, you know.
The fun part is to see how they picture Denmark, because it's such a small country with quite a few islands.
Yeah.
It's like some funny shapes it has on different maps.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Each time you look at it, it totally looks different. And these are the scientific people. You know, and then you have Iceland, you know, from a little dinky place to this monster thing the size of, you know, I don't know what, but, you know, it's huge. You know, so it goes back. So all these things is that there's different ways they can do it, but that's the whole point, is that you could make the map this way, you can make the map that way, and then they're saying, oh, why this isn't so scientific? It's they can't even nail it down what they can see.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that's the whole... Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why it's not going to be easy to understand, because it's the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
And the thing is, which I quote from this, how important to be in this approach to the upper avidya, the mind will become in the mode of goodness.
Yes, that's all. Because otherwise, why do we need it scientific? You know, when we say, no, it must be scientific, what's the need?
We want to control it.
We want to control it, because if you can measure it and all that, then you can control it. So it's not about goodness, it's about passion and ignorance. Right? And why do we want to control it? Because we're the control and enjoy it. That's the ignorance. That we want to control and enjoy it, that's the passion. You know, so that's the difficulty that comes up. So it's not a matter of, oh, it's just faith or that. It means, yes, it is faith in the Lord, but it is the Lord. So we will only understand how much He wants us to understand, right? Because these are things that are seen. You know, as we that one, how you say, conversation that was. There was, don't know where they were sitting, but Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, Narad Muni, and some other were sitting around and discussing some technical points of the philosophy that they weren't sure about, right? And, you know, they're thinking what to do. And at that time, they see Bhaktivinoda Thakur walking by in the distance on a japa walk through the universe. And then one of them points out, well, there's a Vaishnava, we can ask him. Right? Does that make sense? And then you have this other, I think it's a Sri Vaishnav. He also went around a tour of the universe and then jotted down his notes. Like that. You come across that book? No. Well, it's a Sri Vaishnav. There's one book that they have, it's just, you know, because everybody's got their own opinion, so he thought, okay, let's go have a look. So he went out and then came back, and okay, it looked like this. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that there are those who go out, but the point is it's so complex, how do you describe it?
You know? That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, things that are right here, we can't define.
Especially English.
You know? Yes. Right? Yeah, here. Trees of a banyan tree. Yeah, yeah.
I got to the bottom of the banyan tree.
Okay, what is it?
There was a big section that was cut out. It actually says, on these four mountains there are trees 1,100 yojanas high, mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree.
And a banyan tree.
Yeah.
Okay, a little sick. That tree right outside next to the Julon house, that's a rose apple.
Right? Jambu.
Rose apple is jambu. Really? I thought it was I thought it was like a kalu jamun tree or something. It's a jambu. Look at those. Yeah, that's one out here.
This one's jambu.
Yes, yeah.
This one's a bit smaller.
That's smaller, yeah. Yeah, no, this is a bit. So I haven't actually seen the fruits. They mysteriously disappear. Yeah, but I'm saying the ones here. Somehow or another never make it. Okay, so that's it. A mango, a jambu,
kadamba, banyan.
Kadamba and banyan. Okay. Right, okay.
And they each have a specific name, like Jambu tree, its name is Sudarshan. Well, sometimes Jambu tree is called Sudarshan tree.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm. Wow. Cool. Okay, so is that clear? So with that in mind, then what we want to do is understand how does this approach help us understand, bring us to the mode of goodness so we can understand the Lord. That's mm-hmm. what we're trying to get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we want things down to, you know, we want to get out our tape measure, then it may not work out so good for us. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it mentions the things, but it still doesn't mean we understand it. Yes. Right? So that's the point. They can point out the measurements. Was it, you know, 10,000 yojin is long, so that means 80,000 miles long, and 80,000 miles high. And these are the small mountains around Meru. Right? Our planet, if you go, the whole thing is 25,000. So that means it's over three times as long. This is going to be the problem. You know, because otherwise, see, for us to understand that in our perspective, then we have to do a Dr. Frog in the Well kind of approach. That's the difficulty.
Yeah. So Dr. Maharaj referred to the temptation to try and measure everything. He said it's the cosmic bean counters and yojana measurers.
Bean counters. Cosmic bean counters. Yes. Yeah. And he also would criticize sometimes when things would be put together, he'd say they'd be too mechanistic. You know, so it's just on the level of, you know, Brahman, Paramam. It never gets to Bhagavan. So the point is that you can analyze it, go in there, put the different shastras together, try to work it out, you know, analyze it, figure it out. So then you can, but the point is if you don't connect it to the Lord, it's just mechanistic. It's just how it mechanically works. So how is it pleasing to the Lord? How does it connect us to the Lord? What's the relationship with us? That becomes the weakness.
Maharaj wrote a very extensive paper on this.
Oh, he did? Okay. Does that make sense? So that will be the point here. And then how much we can understand, that we'll deal with. But the main focus will be how to see the relationship with the Lord. Because if you know that, then you actually know what's going on. And the other thing is, they don't know anyway. Because as it is, it mentions that the moon's farther away than the sun. Right? And that already is freaking us out. Right? But it's closer in its orbit. But it's higher. You know? While the sun is closer, but lower. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the yeah. You know, so those kind of things is that it won't, it's like how you say, Sariputta put together the model, and you have the earth and then all the planets moving around. So but at the same time as the modern, then they put the sun in the center with the planets moving around. So it's just a matter of there's a particular movement of the planets. It's just where you put the pin and say that's the center. But the movements will be exactly the same. Right? So you could look at it either way, though it's the Earth is the center. Right? But if you look at it, the same movements would be there if you made the sun the center. So they're just looking at that. And then someone will come along and say, you know, Mars is the center, and then it'll all move around. You know? Or something, you know, like that. Pluto is the center. Yeah, you know, so the point is it's all going to, the mechanical will move the same way. Does that make sense? So it just depends upon your viewpoint. Like, let's say we're in the kitchen, okay? Dinner's being cooked. The mom is there, right? Her mom is there, and the daughter is there. So will the mechanics of the cooking change? Right? No, that'll be set. But who's the center of attention? That you could move around. You understand? So that's the whole, that's what we're dealing with here. So the real center of attention is Krishna. That's what we have to catch. If we catch that, then if we can figure out the other, nice. And if we can't, we'll still go back to Godhead. But if you figure out the other and don't understand the relationship to Krishna, then you get stuck here as somebody very serious in, you know, Vedic astronomy or less, depending on the faith. A bean counter, yes. You know, like that. Yes.
It sounds like what you just display in the different centers, egocentric.
Yes.
Where I am.
Yes.
That's the center.
That's the whole point. Yeah, because the scientist is egocentric. It's not. It's they're the center. You know, or a specific. You know, a particular personage's wheelchair is the center. Yes. But I even heard he's having doubts these days.
Yeah, that would be progress.
Yeah, yeah. Now, something happened to him and then
yeah.
It opened his eyes a bit. Mm-hmm. Hasn't shut his mouth, but it's opened his eyes. You know? Yes? Okay. Okay, in his commentary to verse 3, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, when the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived. Right? So that's the idea, is how to see Krishna in everything. Right? Because we were talking before about how performing your duties within the Daiva Varna Ashram system, you can connect everything to Krishna and elevate yourself. So now here's getting to details of how to do that. So, yeah? Srila Prabhupada remarks, Maharaj Prickett had already been advised by his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to think of the universal form of the Lord, and therefore, following the advice of his spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. The universal form is certainly material, but because everything is expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately nothing is material. Right? So that's the point. It is material because it's manifest here through Krishna's energies that are taking on the form of the material energy. But ultimately, everything's Krishna, everything's Brahman, so everything's transcendental. We're the only ones, our consciousness, that's not transcendental. The jiva themselves are transcendental. Right? So this is what we're trying to get to. Because the point is if this energy is so difficult to understand, and this is the inferior one, right? What's the spiritual we're going to be like? You know, and we're trying to work that out. You know, sitting here, what is it, you know, when Krishna moves and, you know, how does he get from one place to the next so quickly? You know, it's because the lotus opens and closes and then things like that. But that's not the point. The point is there's no time. So time is a perception, right? The kid in the back seat of the car, 30 seconds seems like 12 years or more. Right? Yeah, yeah. While when you're having a good time, then hours just goes by in moments. So, because therefore here we're controlled by that, right? Because the actual time went by, but in the spiritual world, it's only a perception of time. So therefore, it's not based on that. So it's not a matter of, well, you know, the lotus has to open and close so that they get there quickly and all that, and it's so far away, because there's no distance. There is no time. So what's the point of even discussing about the opening and closing of the lotus? That kind of stuff's just to shut up people who, you know, can't get their mind off of stuff like that.
He walks, but he does not walk.
Yeah. Takes an ego bus, right?
The same thing for space. No time, no space.
Yes, no time, no space. So, but there's a perception of space. It's like you can see this is here, that tree is over there. That's there, and I'm here. But let's say there's a flower there. Now, if I point my hand like this, I can see the flower and my fingers on each side of the flower. Here, when I close my fingers, you know, there's a few meters of distance. But in the spiritual world, I could pick the flower. It's not that my arm became longer, like here. The yogi, he can touch the moon. He just gets a really long arm. You know? Imagine what happens if somebody came and bumped into that or something, you know, like that. Gets all tied up. It'd be a problem. Nowadays with all this, you know, how you say? Things out in space and stuff like that, you know, meteor showers, you know, it could be a bit of a trip. You know? Yes, that is true. That's why you see in this age yogis can't do that anymore, right? You know. Yes.
You'll be here all week.
You understand? So, but there, it's not yoga. It's just the nature of there is no time and space. So then you can pick the flower. You know, if that's just you've gone out to that. But if it's the pastime, then you have to get to the flower. Then. You know, then Krishna's lifting up Radharani and like this and that. You know, and so it's just what works for the pastime. That's all. It means all the energies, the mechanistic aspects of Krishna's energies, all they're doing is fulfilling his desire. So he's not controlled by time and space or by the modes. Therefore, there is no distances or anything like that. It just as he if he wants to take a long walk, then it takes a long time. If he wants to be there quickly, he's there quickly. You know, it's not that they take bigger steps or you know everything goes in fast motion or you know something like that.
Sure. Each is the center.
It's his desire. Right? So it's not that when he punches Kamsa, then it goes to slow motion and his jaw goes, you know, he doesn't do all that. You know, it just works according to Krishna's desire. That's the whole thing we're trying to get to. But to get to there, it has to be not according to our desire. And it's our desire that we got to know what this is scientifically. Because we've been conditioned that that's how science works. If I can measure it with my senses, then it's science. Rather than, okay, that's the science of the senses. Now what about the science of the mind? What about the intelligence? What about the, you know, like that? What about the soul? Like that. So that's what we have to get used to.
I've also heard that Srimati Radharani never cooks the same thing two times.
Yes. But the point, yes, and so then, because of the understanding, the subtleties and all that, how you put it together, you know, there's a good chance they don't sing the same thing twice either, you know, or say the same things twice, you know, but the differences are subtle. You know, it means, in other words, you move through your range of what you say, but when you come back around, there's a slight adjustment in it. You know, it's like you go, you could go, mm-hmm. You understand? Like that. So unlimitedly you can do stuff. You know? Yeah. Not that she has to cook unlimitedly, so then she has to toss pizza in there. You know, because otherwise where will the variety come from? Because I'm so stupid, I can't think of any variety. Because, hey, I don't know how to cook. You know, and you can only order out for Chinese, yeah. Mexican, and pizza, right? And sometimes the Lebanese place will drop things off, but, you know, it depends upon where you are, you know? Like that, you know what I'm saying? And if she did, that's once in eternity, and then it's gone if we're talking about that kind of variety. You know, we'd have to throw in mud pies also, you know, to keep the variety out, you know? Strawberry kitchery. That was very popular. No? Draupadi never talked about strawberry kitchen? No? You guys never heard of what's really going on in the Gurukul? Nobody knows. They weren't cooking it. That means they're cooking it.
Is it good?
They thought it was great. You go out here, pick up leaves, rocks, and everything. You go around this back corner over here and set up shop. And then you have strawberry kichri and strawberry pakuras and strawberry sabjis and strawberry drinks and everything strawberry because that's the thing. You know, that was, I don't remember if that was before or after unicorns, but whatever.
Huh?
They were eating that. They were
like that. And so then that's what goes on. And then I put it on the plate and the other go, oh, very nice, you know, like that, you know, like that.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Samaha is a universal form of Krishna, can also change according to Krishna's desire?
Can, but it, there's no need. It's already so unlimitedly vast and varied that there's no need. You have 14 worlds, and then each of those has all the different species of life and situations and all. So it's just like music has seven notes, and we're happy with that. So you know, here you're talking 14 worlds, and you know, you have, you know, oceans, you have rivers, you have lakes, you have plains, you have hills, you have mountains,
yes,
you know, like that. And so, and that's just what we go. Then you have the air, you have the water. You know, so it's unlimited what's there, because you're talking to 8,400,000, and that's your basic, and then within each of those, then there's going to be some variety. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, you have, you know, dog, but then, you know, one dog likes chasing a ball, another one, a stick, another one doesn't like to do any of that at all, it'd rather lay in front of the fire, you know, so...
But they'll all bite your leg off.
Huh?
But they'll all bite your leg off.
They'll all bite your leg off. So that's the common point. Does that make sense? So, therefore, there's no need to. Because the point is what is his desire is how it's done. So it's not that it changes and that's why we can't understand it. No, it's just so sophisticated we can't understand it. You know, because we're just working with our five senses, which are limited and prone to mistakes because it's based on the mind. How the mind interprets things is what we see.
It is our mind, isn't it?
Huh?
It is our mind.
Yes.
Because it takes the shape.
Yes. So that's what we see. So depending upon that, that's how things work. So that's the difficulty, is that our conditioning will have us see things in a particular way. You know, it's just like when the, you know, how you say, the conquistadors went around the planet, then what did they see everywhere they went?
Gold.
Gold on one side, and who had the gold?
Savages.
Yes. Like that. So they couldn't see anything developed in their society, anything like that. So that's the difficulty, is that we can't see unless the Lord reveals. Because we're controlled by the modes. So only when we come to the platform of pure goodness, we're beyond the modes, then we can actually see. So the problem is while we're controlled, if we don't see the universal form, we can't actually see the form of the universe, because the form of the universe is the universal form, the Lord's form. Right? And Prabhupada says, it's certainly material, but because everything is expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately nothing is material. Right? So it's made out of the external energy. But that energy is the transformation of his internal potency. So that's the whole thing. If you can't see the universal form, then how are you going to see beyond that, beyond Krishna? So you won't see the material world. Like that. We'll think what we see, but in actuality we don't.
We mess it up ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like a test. It's like a test. If you can see the universal form, if you can see later on the form.
Yes, well, it's not even so much a test, it's a matter of the endeavor. The point is try to see the Lord. So, if you can just see straight from the pastimes and remember the Lord, then that's great. But if not, then we have this aspect of universal form, how those things that distract us from seeing the Lord, then we're able to see the Lord.
Yes.
Does that make sense? No. So that's the... Yes?
Towards the end of the fourth canto, there was a verse where Narada Muni was speaking to Bhakti Bharatap, and he said when one is purely fixed in Krishna consciousness, one sees the universe just as the Lord sees it.
Mm. Ah.
So is that referring to seeing the universal form? Or?
No, because the Lord sees it. What is going on? What is the Lord seeing?
entities, living entities, bound by their desires to
yes. enjoy. And that, and then they're making their attempts to know him.
In the purport of that verse, Srila Prabhupada talks about the desires in the mind of the living entity.
Yeah, because that's actually what's going on. These other things are just mechanically applying it. You know, it's just like, let's say someone's cooking. So the point is they have a concept in their mind of what they want, and then they apply according to their skills and ability with the, you know, ingredients and utensils available to manifest that. That's what's going on. But by modern science, it'll be, yes, the heat being transferred through the bottom of the thing, and then that's here, and that's creating, you know, whatever it is that's turning the things brown and this and that, and you know, they can give all kinds of amazing stuff, but it has actually technically nothing to do with what's going on. That's the problem with modern science. It's what we say is science isn't actually what's going on.
It's just how, nothing to do with why.
Yeah, it's not to do with the living entities, what's going actually going on, the transformations of their minds, the feelings, the desires. That's the real thing that's happening.
Thank you, Marshall.
Is that Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was saturated with spiritual consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam falgu kataye katyate. Everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura translates the verse as follows. Hari sevaya yata haya anukula vishaya balaya tahara tyage hai bula. One should not give up anything connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking it material or enjoyable for the material senses. So this idea is that everything's connected to the Lord, so one should not give up that concept and then think, I will enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Right? You should always see everything in connection to the Lord. That's the point. So we can see is from here, this is where your principle of Yukta Vairagya comes, because you see everything connected to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the point is here what they're trying to do is see the Lord and then see what you're looking at. Because what you're looking at is the Lord. So you're supposed to see it how the Lord sees himself and sees the situation. But otherwise, if we see it about from my perspective, then it's about, yes, Yukta Vairagya means we can use all the modern stuff in the Lord's service. But if you notice that the rest of the senses, but you can't use anything Vedic. That's the rest of that sentence. Or if you do, we just use it according to our methods.
Yes.
Right? So in other words, it's not for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's the point that has to be given up. It starts with Krishna, ends with Krishna. And in between, then the mechanical aspects will be there. Mm-hmm. Like I start with, I want to cook something nice to offer to Krishna. And at the end, I have the bhoga offering, I'm offering to Krishna.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. My desire... You know, and then that goal is for Krishna, right? And then the activity is therefore for Krishna. Now, in that activity, there is the mechanical aspects, right? That's there. But those mechanics are only important as much as they help manifest that desire to serve Krishna. And if it's about us, I like these mechanics, okay, great. You know, but so one thing is if it's service to Krishna, nice. But sometimes we find it may just be, it's my conditioning. Right? And so it will be connected to the Lord, so that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. But it's not that it's necessarily the basis is pure devotion, that my choice of that particular activity. You know what I'm saying? Because it's too much about the mechanics of it rather than the devotion of it. That doesn't mean that mechanics is dropped. It just means the emphasis is not on there. You know, we could say no, but that's important. Without that, it doesn't get done. But who has to focus on the mechanics to get something done?
A beginner,
or maybe someone who's expert that really has a taste for those mechanics. But someone who has mastery of something, it's about affecting what it is. In other words, whatever comes into the mind that you can do. It's not about the mechanics, as they've already practiced the mechanics. So in other words, what we're talking about is practice and application of the mechanics way beyond what the modern mechanistic mind is thinking.
Yes. More focused on purpose.
Yes, we're more focused on the purpose, because the purpose is to please Krishna. Right? And that means if the purpose is to please Krishna, then what's the actual scientific view? I'm the soul, I'm not the body, I'm serving of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're looking at the mechanistic without seeing Krishna, then who's it about? It'll be about ourselves. Do you understand? So, therefore, just in this approach, there's a big difference. Right? So devotees always think of fifth canto, all that, you know, technical stuff, all this, you know, facts and figures, but actually it's about knowing the Lord in the universe through the universal form.
Yes. I just want to point out on the previous page there was a small mistake in the study guide related to this point. Okay. It was supposed to be Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, but it's actually not his commentary. So I just wanted to share his commentary.
Oh, okay. So it means, but whose commentary was this little bit?
This is just a duplicate of the original Bhagavatam sloka. Mm-hmm.
This one?
Yeah. It's duplicated from one paragraph of this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the point is that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Parikshit Maharaj, he's not asking about the gross universal form for himself. He's asking on behalf of the Bhakti Mishra yogis present at the gathering who desire to concentrate their minds. He says, and then Parikshit Maharaj continues, I, however, drink with my ears the honey of topics of the Lord flowing from your lotus mouth. That is my way of attaining the Lord.
Okay. Yeah. So you see, so the mechanistic is if one has that attachment and need, it's there because it's the Lord then that's able to gain that position. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so, but if not, if you can directly just deal with the Lord and the devotees and his pastimes, that's better. Right? So generally in our life, we'll have aspects where that will be natural, but there's also aspects where there's too much attachment or too much, you know, overthinking, so then we use this method. You know what I'm saying? There may be so many parts in our life that we've nicely connected to Krishna, but there's some aspects that we haven't. That's where you use the universal form. Right? So the universal form's important for the Misra Bhakti aspects. Pure devotion, it's not necessary because you're already dealing with the Lord himself as a person. You don't have to deal with him on the platform of Brahman or Paramatma. Is that it? Yes. Okay, thank you. Yeah, because that's also what Prabhupada mentions in the, I think, second canto. And also in Bhagavad Gita, it's for the beginners in spiritual life. You know. And so these yogis and that haven't taken up bhakti yet, they're beginners. Right? You know. And then there's us. Right? Yes.
In the second canto, the first second God realization description of the universal form, is there a progression of the purpose in this description from that?
I would say so. Just like there it's described the creation, then it's described in more detail, because there it's showing the connection with the Supreme Lord as defined in the Purusha Shukta. Okay. Right? So you're getting your scriptural basis. Then we see third canto, there's more, but it's analytical, so you understand how everything's connected to each other. But then in fourth canto, then Vidura is asking about the creation, but how it connects to the Lord personally. So we see very different, because that's like when we go through each one of these, even though we know creation, it's the same structure, then again we have to rediscuss everything very nicely because it's a whole new perspective. Yes.
Would it be safe to say that in the second canto you're dealing with the universal form, and then third canto, universal form and its relation to the metaphysical, and then fifth canto, universal form and its relation with the physical?
You could say physical, but it's also, it's, as we pointed out here, is the consciousness. You're trying to elevate the consciousness, bring it to the mode of goodness. So how the mind will come to the mode of pure goodness. Mm-hmm. Right? So, if you can do that just by hearing and chanting about the Lord, then that's the best. And if not, then that area where it's not, then you use this. So that's why for us it's not so important, but at the same time as how we can explain anything to anybody. Right? The materialist is interested in what he's he's attached to, but that's the universal form that he's attached to. So that's the point, is everybody's connected to Krishna. Everyone's looking for Krishna. They just don't know it's Krishna. You know, they think it's, you know, society, friendship, love, position, wealth, power. They think it's that, but it's actually Krishna that they're looking for. You know? And we're not just saying that. That's why this is here, so we can mechanically show how it is. That's the point. We can back up all those things. There's no dogma here. Right. Yeah. We may have a point about attitude, but we don't have such a thing as dogma. Others have it, because we have the complete truth. But there are attitudes in which you're going to discuss about the Lord, spiritual master, and things like that. Yeah. Wrong attitude, then there's going to be trouble. But if there's actual doubts and discussions, that's there's nothing that we can't discuss. Okay, we were here. Even the senses, when purified, are spiritual. When Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relation with the Supreme Lord, and therefore such geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. Right? So he doesn't need it, but thinking about it, one's transcendental. So it's not that you need it as a process to elevate yourself like these, what was it, Jnana Mishra Yogis? Bhakti Mishra Yogis. Right? So, okay, so that's even lower, right? Because it's Bhakti Mishra rather than Jnana Mishra. Right? So then, they require it, otherwise they can't get up to the transcendental platform. But for us, it's one of those we can work with it, or work directly with Bhagavan. But the point is, the sense is there, and it always will come up about Krishna and his creation and situations. Therefore, we're quite comfortable because we have this particular knowledge. Right? So it's not detached from Krishna. Right? That makes sense, yeah. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, Narad Muni was asked, Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetara. The entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from him. Therefore, although Parikshit Maharaj had no need for geographical knowledge of this universe, that knowledge was also spiritual and transcendental, because he was thinking of the entire universe as an expansion of the energy of the Lord. So it's just the Lord's energy, how the Lord's energies work. Right? Because that's what the pastime is. The Lord interacting with his energies. That's the great Rishi Sukadev Goswami said, My dear King, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. This material world is a transformation of the material qualities, Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. Yet no one could possibly explain it perfectly. Even in a lifetime as long as that of Brahma, no one in the material world is perfect, and an imperfect person cannot describe this material universe accurately even after continued speculation. So there's no way mechanically or geographically we can actually explain it anyway. Right? O King, I shall nevertheless try to explain to you the principal regions, such as Bhugola, Bhuloka, with their names, forms, measurements, and various symptoms. 4. Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Sukadeva Goswami admitted that to give full details of this expansive material universe would be impossible. Right? If Ananta Sesha has been talking with 1,000 mouths since time immemorial and he hasn't described all of Krishna's glories, then the point is how are we going to be able to describe it? Right? The majority of that's, of course, going to be in Vaikuntha. But the point is this is still part of his pastimes. Right? So, Sh.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami admitted that to give full details of the expanse of material universe would be impossible. But nevertheless, he wanted to give the king as much knowledge as he had received through the Parampara system. We should conclude that if one cannot comprehend the material expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly cannot estimate the expansiveness of the spiritual world. Right? Because this is one quarter that's using a millionth of a millionth or a billionth of a billionth of the manifestation of the energy. So whatever is here, and this seems impossible, there it's unlimitedly greater. The Brahma Samhita 533 confirms this. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayoganam cha. The limits of the expansions of Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be estimated by anyone. Even a person as perfect as Brahma, not to speak of tiny scientists whose senses and instruments are all imperfect and who cannot give us information of even this one universe. We should therefore be satisfied with the information obtainable from Vedic sources as spoken by authorities like Sukadeva Goswami. Right? They're thinking that there's what they're looking at is unlimited universes. They're actually only looking at one. Right? They don't even know what the unlimited universes are. Right?
They've posited multiverse theory.
Sorry?
Some scientists who speculate that there's unlimited, there are multiple universes beyond those.
Beyond, but I'm saying, they say when they look out, it's another, you know, this, another sun, another this, and but it's just that there's those, all those planets and that, are just the personalities on the higher planets. So there's going to be leaders of them, there's going to be that, therefore it appears all those are moving around them. So that's the difficulty. They can't even distinguish. But they're saying that outside of what we perceive, there are other such phenomena. Okay. Yeah. Like that. I mean, it's, the point is there's something, there's always, because they're always dealing in the Vedic, and it's only when they're here at this time they can choose not to. And so you have a lot of background of that, so these things will come up. But they don't know how or yes?
They actually, Prabhupada constantly is a major preaching strategy or topic against the materialistic science.
Yes.
Because their approach is wrong and this
yes. Way. Because the point is they'll say, no, this is absolute and this and that, and after 10 years, it's thrown out. Just like when I was a kid, I was saying, my father is what, Helenthian man, I think it was, or he was supposed to be from England. They actually just dug him up in the garbage dump.
Piltdown
man, okay, Piltdown. So Piltdown man. So my father's, where's Piltdown man? You know, and my book was saying, oh, that's been found to be bogus and this and that. And so for us, then it was Neanderthal. And that, you know, you talk about guys that are not quite together enough, and Neanderthals, that they don't have any brains, Neanderthals, no culture, Neanderthals, you know, like this. And then just now, the last few years, now Neanderthal has been thrown out, and there is no Neanderthal. Yeah. So now I don't know what we're going to have to say, you know. Cro-Magnons? Australopithecus.
Yeah.
So all it is they, when people can say it, then they get a new name that no one can say it. So Australopithecus. Pithecus. Australopithecus. That was Aussie Picketus.
That's where it comes from. Because they don't have
they have this stick. Hey, there's an Aussie picking at it.
Because they don't have Sanskrit, they have to make up words to sound intelligent.
Australopithecus. Pithecus. Australopithecus. I can't think of something simpler. At least Lucy, you
they
can
call
say.
Lucy, yeah.
Oh, Lucy's from over that side now.
I think so.
What happened to Africa?
It's very confused.
Wow, Africa's lost it now. Australia's.
I see.
So that means at one time Australia was the world.
That should make the Aussies feel good. I wonder if an Australian scientist put this forward.
I've seen the maps that made it upside down, so it shows at the top. Really?
So what, there was too many kangaroos, and so I'll throw all the balance off, so it slips down to the bottom? Okay. Okay. We should therefore be satisfied with the information obtainable from Vedic sources as spoken by authorities like Sukadeva Goswami. Means more than that, what's given here we won't understand because we don't even generally understand what's given. Not that more couldn't be given, but the point is you couldn't, in a lifetime of Brahma, you still couldn't explain it.
On this point, there's a conversation where Srila Prabhupada said, we should just accept what Sukadeva Goswami describes it as he saw it, and then he stops and says, no, not as he saw it. Sukadeva Goswami describing it as he heard it. He's just heard from authority.
Yeah, because if we say saw, then okay, we have to. It's the heard part, because that's what he says.
Yes.
He just says, this is what I've heard, right?
Yes, as I've heard it.
I shall never try to. Wait, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continues. The planetary system known as the Bhumandala resembles a lotus flower. So this is a planetary system. But it's still within, you know, the plate systems. Right, like that. And it resembles a lotus flower, and its seven islands resemble the whirl of that flower. The length and breadth of the island known as Jambudvip, which is situated in the middle of the whirl, are 1,000,000 yojanas. Footnote 2. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada translates the term Niyuta as 1,000,000, with reference to the width of the central island Jambudvip. This is a general meaning even given to this number. However, in verse 7 of the same chapter, he also states that Jambudvip has a width of 100,000 yojanas. Because the point is this principle, it doesn't really matter because in every universe, there's 14 planetary systems. Right? And the middle one will be Bhumandala. But if the universe is bigger, then Bhumandala is going to be bigger. And if it's, we're the smallest, so then like this. But the point is it doesn't really matter. The point, you get a proportion that's there. So you can say, well, what is it, 1,000,000 or is it 100,000? It's just that's universe 10 times bigger. What about one that's 1,000,000 bigger? Then, yes.
So grouping is the same for all the universe.
All the same. That's why we say chewing the chewed. Every universe is, the way it's made is exactly the same. It's just, you know, we're the smallest, and then others, then they're bigger. You know, so here a big city is, we're up to now, 40 million or something? Like that, the really big ones. So on these other planets, probably it's, you know, billions. You know, in New York City's got billions, you know. Manhattan's 10 times bigger, right? Or, you know, 100 times bigger or something. You know, it's like that. So it's
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayapur is bigger, yeah. So, yeah. No, we were down here. It should be noted in this same, in this regard that Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur also gave the same measurements in his Anvaya and Anvada on both of the verses. And thus, Srila Prabhupada has stated perfectly faithfully to his spiritual master in his presentation. Srila Sridhar Swami, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and most of the commentaries do not equate the niyuta of the universe of verse 5 to 1,000,000, but instead describe to mean 1 lakh, 100,000. Jiva Goswami states, though the word niyuta literally means 1,000,000, here it denotes 100,000 due to being proximate to that. Sri Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments that the Ratna Dictionary lists thus: Sata, Sahasra, Ayuta, Niyuta, Prayuta, Koti, Arbuta,
are each 10 times the earlier. Thus, Niyuta is also defined as meaning 100,000. Like that. So the point is getting. Oh, is it this? Is it that? The point is you know, that doesn't matter. Like that, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur translated it like that, and so Prabhupada translated it. Same time we have the others, and so it's just, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. So, seeing that there's no contradiction, there must be some reason why the million is used. Mm-hmm. It has its point.
Well, that's what you were saying before about the different universes. Jiva Goswami said, here it denotes 100,000.
Okay, here. Yeah, here it denotes. Because so, it means, here mm-hmm. means in this place, that somewhere else is bigger. Yeah. Or here in this verse is meaning this, but in another place it means something else. But that's the point, is it can mean all these different things.
Yeah. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it's just like, how many people are agreeing with you when you say, everybody agrees? Yeah, it's just, you only need one, that's it. So that's the whole thing, is that it depends on the situation. Eight million miles. Jambadvipa is round like the leaf of a lotus flower. Round, so Prabhupada said it has that curve on it. Right? You know, so it's not flat as such. It has a curve like the lotus leaf. In Jambadvipa there are 9 divisions of land, each with a length of 9,000 yojanas, 72,000 miles. There, footnote 3, Ilavritta Varsha, Kaitu Mala Varsha, and Bhadrashva Varsha are each 34,000 yojanas wide, and thus exceptions to this measurement. But this says a length, and this is here is width. So it's two different things, actually. Yeah, they're two different things. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely. 5 to 6. In his purport to verse 10 of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada reveals the proper mood in which to assimilate these various measurements and where our focus should lie while doing so. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of authorities like Sukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The measurement given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they have been given by Sukadeva Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. So, sticking to the lotus feet of the acharyas, that's the important thing. Because as said, they say, but no, but science says this, but science can't prove it either way. That's the whole point, is they can't. That's why they work on theorems. They don't have any absolute truth. They just have things that they haven't disproven yet. That's all. It means if I can't disprove it, then it should be accepted. And since they can't disprove this, then it should be accepted. But they don't. Because they're subjective in their view. Sukadeva Goswami continues. Amidst these divisions or varshas is the varsha named Ilavritta, which is situated in the middle of the whirl of the lotus. Within Ilavritta varsha is Sumera Mountain, which is made of gold. Sumera Mountain is like the pericarp of the lotus-like Bhumandala planetary system. What is a pericarp?
Inside the lotus flower, there's that little yellow.
Okay.
Like a little pedestal.
Yeah, but that's also what the whirl is also known.
No, whirl is the stem.
Whirl is the stem?
Yeah, the whirl is the arrangement.
Yeah.
Of
petals.
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought the whirl was the pericarp. Okay, the whirl is the arrangement of. Because they're going out in a whirl.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just this. Because they come out and
you know, some Fibonacci thing, and then they, they come out. Okay, which is made of Sumeru Mountain is like the pericarp of the lotus-like Bhumandala planetary system. The mountain's height is the same as the width of Jambudvip, or in other words, 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles. Of that, 16,000 yojanas, 128,000 miles, are within the Earth, and therefore the mountain's height above the Earth is 84,000 yojanas, or 672,000 miles. The mountain's width is 32,000 yojanas, 256,000 miles, at its summit, and 16,000 yojanas at its base. Just north of Ilavritavarsh, and going further northward, one after another, are three mountains named Nila, Sweta, and Shringavan. These mark the borders of the three varshas named Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, and Kuru, and separate them from one another. The width of these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles. Lengthwise, they extend east and west to the beaches of the ocean of salt water. Going from south to north, the length of each mountain is one-tenth of that of the previous mountain, footnote 4. This means that the measurement is decreased by one-tenth, not that it is one-tenth of the previous length. As stated in the verse, the mountain ranges extend all the way to the salt ocean in both directions. But the height of them all is the same. Right? So Prabhupada, he was commenting that he was in a plane, they were flying over Europe, and he could see from the Alps, and how they went that, and then the next range, he could see all the way up to Meru. Like that. We don't see.
Can you say that we cannot see because we don't have frame of reference of our mind? Can we see that?
I would say that would be mechanically why we can't, but it means the Lord doesn't reveal. You know, it's just like something, let's say somebody's been doing something a million times and they're always, it doesn't work, and then one time they understand, oh, and then they do it another way. And so it was always there, just they couldn't see it. So that's the whole thing, is that the universe being non-different from the Lord, therefore, unless he reveals himself, we can't actually see what it is we're looking at.
Because the point is that even if he reveals, if we don't have the eyes to see, we won't.
No, but if he reveals, that means then you are given the eyes to see. Right? So here the acharyas give the basis, then we ourselves have to apply it in a devotional mood for him to reveal it. Because having the knowledge is not enough. Right? When actually, to understand the knowledge, that's only if the Lord reveals himself. Because it's him. So, okay. Okay, these two. Okay. But the. Okay. Similarly, south of the Ilavritavarsha and extending from east to west are three great mountains, named from north to south Nishada, Hemakuta, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. Okay, so K2 is not the biggest. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsha, Kimpurushavarsha, and Bharatvarsha, footnote 5. Our Bharatvarsha used to be named Nabhivarsha, after the son of Maharaj Agnidra. Maharaj Priyavrata left seven of his sons in charge of the seven islands of Bhumandala, and his eldest son, Maharaj Agnidra, was the ruler of Jambudvip. Following in the footsteps of his father, Maharaj Agnidra also divided up his land to distribute amongst his nine sons. The kingdoms, quote, the kingdoms were named according to the names of the sons.
Thus the sons of Agnidra rule the kingdoms they receive from their father. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.2.21. Later, Nabi Varsha was changed to Bharat Varsha, named after Maharaj Nabi's grandson, the son of Rishabdev. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.4.3, wherein the specific Varsha is referred to as Ajanabha, which refers to both Nabhi and Rishabdev. Okay, Bharat Varsha, India. In the same way, west and east of Ilaritvarsh are two great mountains named Malayavan and Gandamandana, respectively. These two mountains, which are 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles high, extend as far as Nila Mountain in the north and Nishada in the south. They indicate the borders of Ilaritvarsh and also the Varshas known as Ketumala and Bhadrashva. So that middle square, then that's Ilarita. Okay, which includes Meru. Okay.
Yes. Varsha is quite far away from Meru.
Yes. Like that. Yes, because you have to get through Kimpurusha and Harivarsha. Okay. The diagram on the next page is a scale illustration of the nine Varshas of Jambudweep with its various boundary mountains as described in verse 6-10. While this diagram gives an accurate topographical representation of Jambudweep, the Brahmanda and Markandeya Puranas give us an idea of the elevations of these Varshas. The Vedyarta, half a Vedi, sacrificial altar, which is on the hither side of Nishada, is known as the southern Vedyarta, and that which beyond Nilavan is the northern Vedyarta. Okay, which Varsha? Nishada is
means the three Varshas.
Oh, Nishada is there, okay.
The three Varshas to the south are stiff, like the edge of the...
Okay, so they go down like that.
Yeah.
Okay, they go down. And then the other side that way.
The north side.
And then what about Bhadrashva and Ketumala?
They're a little different.
Okay. On the southern side of Vedyarta, there are three Varshas. On the northern side of Vedyarta are also three Varshas. Ilaritta should be known as existing in between them, and Meru is the middle of Ilaritta. Brahmanda Purana 15:36-37. These six mountains in Jambudweep have entered the ocean on both sides. They are high in the middle and slope downwards to the north and south, just like Jambudweep. Right, so Jambudweep itself is curved, and so these mountains are also curved. They're higher in the middle, and then it curves down, right? And then it steps this way, steps that way, and hasn't been said what the two side ones do.
It doesn't explicitly, but it appears that there's a 9,000 yojana here, and then it slopes up, and then there's just a small mountain there.
Okay, so it's not as much. What do you call it? It's not, the other ones are steps, so then these are sloped. Yeah, I mean, it's natural. You get variety. Okay, these six mountains, okay. There are three Varshas in the southern half of the Vedi and three Varshas in the northern half. Ilaritvarsha, okay, is situated in the middle between the two sides, which are like halves of the moon. Oh, okay. Yeah, because it has the moose, so then you have the, you know, that curve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you say is the mountains are high there, but then they curve down. So that means, okay. Markandeya Purana, 54:12-13. Okay, so then here we have here. Okay, so then, so it's like a Yagyakunda, the middle being Ilaritta. Okay, so that's why then it's down, and then, huh. So then when they say it's the place of sacrifice,
that's
the place is like a Yajna Kunda.
And in one Bhagavatam verse, Mary was said to be like the flames of a sacrificial fire.
Okay.
Blazing like that. And the Acharya's commentary talks about the different mountains around Meru and their different functions. Eight of them are like Kusha grass.
Oh.
Eight of them go around are like a broody state protecting the fire.
Okay. Mm. So it's all... that's why no one's going to understand it. Because unless you understand... Because if you understand that, then it starts to make sense.
Bharat on the southern side is the place where the sacrifice sits.
Okay, so the Hotri sits this side. Okay, so it's like as we see it here. Okay. Okay, because that when you arrange it in the temple, a sacrifice, the Hotri will sit on the side where Bharata is, but that means the deity will be on this side of Ketumala, and the Acharya will be on the side of Bhadrashva. Like that. So that's probably also why these two are different. Like that. Because then when you deal with the north side of the... Because you'll take Uttara Kuru as east for doing all your things. Right? But actually east will be towards Bhadrashva. Like that. So that's the fun part. When you put it into this context, now it all starts to make sense. See, that's the whole point. Is if you try to do it by the modern mechanistic, it just won't make sense.
Yes.
But if you put it into this, now it starts to make sense, because how a Yajna Kunda is designed, how it works, how everything functions. Does this make sense? Right? Yeah.
When I was doing the research in this, we looked back at very old structures like the ziggurats and so on,
right,
which were a sacrificial altar of sorts, and they had the step. But on two sides, there's also this like a slope coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems that it all comes back to this one.
Yeah, yeah, true. They would put the steps on the two sides, so they would have like this. That's true. Yeah, otherwise, where would they get it from? Like that. Because the Sumerians, then that was, the oldest of all these cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest to the Vedic version.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. The form is described in the Vayu Purana, Danurvat samstite gyeye dve varshe dakshinottare dirghani tatra chatvari chaturasrama ilavritam. 2 varshas on the north and south are bow-shaped, for other varshas are long and ilavrita is square. Okay, so you get that.
Is that supposed to be bow shaped?
Bharat Varsha.
Bharat
and Uttara Kuru. See, they're just bow, because they're straight on one side, curved on the other, and so is that.
Okay.
Then Hari Varsha, Kim Purusha, Ramyakan, Hiranmaya are long.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And Ilavrita is square. And then just Ketumala and Bhadrashra is just what's left. So they're kind of a cross between square and a little bit curved.
Yes. Evolving.
When we talk about the Earth planet, because there's always confusion because it's round, and here it's kind of flat.
It has the curve, but the point is it's what we'll see of it. Because this Bharat Varsha here is much bigger than, because just that mountain range along there, that will be, means the Nishada will be 10,000 yojanas, right? Now it has to be more, because if this is 100,000 across, right? So this will be just a touch less, and each one just a little bit less than the last one. So that means Bharat Varsha that's mentioned here, and the ocean is way bigger than what we can see. So we're just a portion. So it's arranged in such a way that we can move around this and not bother anybody else. So if it wasn't, because you see what happens if we get somewhere, we bother, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A culture's been going on for thousands, tens of thousands, or however long that they're willing to accept. And then in walks, dirty guys that have never taken a bath possibly their whole life and wipe out the culture and take all the gold. So that's how we roll, right? So that's why they make it that we can't do that. You know, so it's only through technology then we start going to other planets and get trouble. So that's Buddha has to come because of that. So this time they don't have the technology to do it, but in other ages, then they were doing that at the time of Buddha. We're taking now, okay, now we've developed, now we have the technology. And they still can't go somewhere else. But that in previous Kali Yuga, at the time of Buddha, they were already flying to other planets. Right? And, you know, how you say?
Colonizing.
Huh?
Colonizing.
Colonizing, yes. What do you call it? But what do you, something in pillaging?
Right.
Looting?
Oh, raping and pillaging, yes. The, you know, a standard occupational duties.
Doing the duty of tribes.
Yes, doing their particular tribal duties. You had something, or?
Yeah, just came to my mind. If Hochambudvipa or Bhumandala is the section of karmas performing, yeah, not just Bharatavarsha.
It's specifically Bharatavarsha. Yeah. This is the central station of it. All these other ones, you have to have some particular piety, but they're on Bhumandala, so they don't need require the same piety as that is there on what's on top of Meru. Right? So people who are there, they have less, they come down to these places and then eventually end up down in Bharatvarsha, you know, between, how you say, between Fifth Avenue and Lexington. You know? you know what I'm saying? And then as their karma drops more, then they end up out in the Bronx.
New Jersey.
Yeah. True, that would be more representative.
Yonkers.
Yeah. It was interesting. I heard of Palm Beach. And have you ever heard the phrase living out in the sticks? You know, it's like means out in, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of like, but,
the boondocks,
out in Whoop Whoop or the boonies or like that. You know, it's way out there. So the interesting thing is, what did I just say? Palm Beach. Palm Beach is a little dinky island. You know, big enough. I mean, to set up kind of a small township there. But, you know, a very expensive township. I think it's the most highest, you know, real estate, but also just how much money everybody has per capita per, you know, an area, you know, at least in America. I don't know about how it compares to Monte Carlo or the Riviera and stuff, but, you know, it's good. Now, just then they have a bridge across onto the mainland, and right on the mainland, stretching along that, because the ocean is on there and it goes in between. There's a canal there, so it's ocean. So just right along that and that kind of long thing, that's where all the people that work there, you know, all that, you know, all the, you know, the butlers and chauffeurs and maids and cooks and, you know, all that kind of guys, they live on that side. And that area is technically called that township is called the Styx. S-T-Y-X. Styx. So when you say you live out in the Styx, means, you know, you're out of it. You know, you're not living where the big guys are living.
Like the river in purgatory.
Yeah, oh, also that, yes. Could be the same. Okay, so we're good with... Yeah? Okay, so we'll start this a little bit later.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.